Off the ball. Rugby.
And then with the players, they're just so supportive and, you know, you see it, like they play with their heart in their sleeve, and that's all you want from them, to do or die out there, and that's what they do.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Zeebo going on his own. He gets the try.
The Red 78.
We're both Munster people.
Rory gets over the line. Try from Munster.
Nobody knows Munster rugby better.
Hello and welcome to the Red 78, a Munster podcast for Munster fans. My name's Rory O'Hagan from Off The Ball, joined by Munster legends Alan Quinlan and Fiona Hayes. And we've a lot to talk about, lads. Disappointing defeat to Bordeaux in the Champions Cup. We'll dig into the weeds of that and see just what went wrong for Munster over in France. And there is a massive game with the Bulls to come this weekend. So plenty to talk about on this episode of the Red 78 on Off The Ball. Quinny, Fiona, how are you guys? Good to see you.
Good, Rory. Just about over that heartbreak, I suppose, at the weekend. Especially, I was thinking I had a lot on, so I knew I wouldn't get over to Bordeaux. But then part of me, I suppose, was living on that La Rochelle moment. So I think for it not to be such a huge occasion, I was kind of relieved that I missed that I didn't miss anything. I always have FOMO. But look, yeah, it was disappointing. But I had my own game Saturday, and we're through to the AIL final as well in the Aviva in 2 weeks. So that cheered me up rightly on the Sunday.
Yeah, huge congratulations there, Fiona. How was that semi-final? It was a hard battle, I believe.
Oh, good Lord. It was the most stressful game I've had in a long time. Yeah, we went 12-0 down at home, so they were shocked to the gore. And we won 15-12, so we scored a try just before half-time and kept them nil after half-time, scored a couple more. So look, I think it's those battle ones that you need as well going into a final. If we'd sailed through, I actually think it probably would have been a detriment to us. So look, I think the girls were rocked at how BlackRock performed. I thought they were outstanding. So they know now, they always know come the final it's a battle, but I think this will actually stand to them, having the ability to scrape through a game like that, touch and go. And they were quite calm throughout, because normally you go behind the posts after a score and there's absolute roaring going on. So they kind of held it together, and I was delighted they got the comeback in the end.
Yeah, and Railway Union out to come in the final, repeat last year's final.
Yeah, really tough battle. We lost twice to them this season. I think the first game, a point. The second game, maybe 6 points. So it's always a close enough game, but it's going to be a huge battle. And if the girls can't get up for playing in the Aviva, I don't know, like, what can do them. So, look, I'm really looking forward to it. Such a great occasion. And we'll see now this weekend if there'll be two Munster teams, if Carcon can do it away to St. Mary's. So last year was the both of us in that final. Great to have the Munster reps there.
Yeah, absolutely. Quinny, how are you, sir?
I'm very good, thanks. Yeah, all good. I went to Bordeaux the weekend. Yeah, it was a great weekend, bar the results. But anyway, too tall an order for Munster, and lots of stuff that didn't go right from it. But Bordeaux, a very powerful team. But I suppose it was the guts of 3,000 Munster fans there, and it was incredible to see that. And being amongst it, really, I was doing some pre-match stuff and post-match stuff, but yeah, it was disappointing, very disappointing way to go out.
No sign of you on a trailer, anti Quiddy. No videos going around before the match. Did you get up that thing?
Like Golov, no, I kept myself nice and quiet and away from the limelight.
All right, we certainly have a lot to break down in that game. 47-29 win for Bordeaux. And we've had a couple of comments into us, Fiona, as well.
Yeah, cheers, guys, again, for sending into comments. So I'll read out the few. Keema Gibney, after the disappointment of last week, will Munster be able to get back and get the line out back functioning against the Bulls this weekend and for the other three games left of the season? Secondly, will Lee Barron, Michael Milne see game time before the season ends? We were chatting about that, Quinny. You can have a look at that in a while. Clare had sizable long-standing deficits in playing and managerial quality exposed multiple times this season, Alan. Yet again, McMillan may help the latter, but little prospects of former improvement enough in short to medium term to win challenge for trophies, ? T-Rock on Twitter, they needed a good start. If they had managed to score in those first few minutes, would have got their confidence up. Line out malfunction was a big momentum swing, showed signs in the second half of their true potential. Great occasion with Munster fans and gracious home supporters. Chris Tobin, we can dress it up as much as we like. We're going nowhere fast. We look totally disorganized. I find it hard to find many positives from that game. We convinced ourselves after La Rochelle we were okay. I followed Munster back to Twickenham in early 2000s, and it's a struggle now. And last, Christopher Murphy, it was always going to be a difficult task, but they look short on confidence after the conceding the first try, even though they had opened the game with a strong attack. The line out going awry really didn't help. One big positive, though, Josh Witcherly scrummaging in the last two games.
Yeah, plenty to discuss about there from the comments that we've gotten. Quinny, you were there, you were on the ground in France watching this game. What was your feeling watching the match and how Munster performed?
Yeah, I think the second last person who sent in a message there was you could argue the point that it was, obviously, it was a great victory away in La Rochelle, and that this team are still short the required level, and that's probably the harsh reality of where they're at. I don't think people got carried away and thought, God, suddenly we're going to win
Yeah.
the European Cup after beating La Rochelle. I think most rugby people would know and would have realised that. That's the squad isn't strong enough. I think the 15 or 23 that were involved at the weekend were superb, obviously the week before. But when you look at the Bordeaux squad, team power, their two wingers, Bielbori, Damien Penaud, Etcheret, fullback. He was on the France under 19 or under 20 team. He's a superstar as well. The two centres, Mofana, what a player he's been for France as well. So, and then you bring in someone like Jalabert for Joey Carberry. Maybe he would have started anyway. I know Joey Carberry had an injury. Maxime Lucu was outstanding, and as he was against Ireland when he came on for Dupont in that Six Nations game. So, and then just that power and strength and physical presence they have up front. Yeah, I think, look, Munster started well and got a brilliant line break and created some space out on the edge. Ball went forward, and you think that's the template, that's the opportunity. Go and attack and be brave. But when your set piece is totally malfunctions and you can't get the ball back off the opposition, I think it's very frustrating. And I think even though there was the guts of 3,000 Munster fans there, and they were incredible before the game and during it and after, but it was that feeling of shock when they were running in those tries in the first half. And so there's lots of mixtakes that were made, a mixture of Bordeaux's quality when they're on the front foot as well. They hadn't to go to huge multi-phase to break Munster down. I think the first try, if you take it for ex as an example, Munster got quite bunched in the midfield. Bordeaux were able to get the ball out the back, and then with Jalibert, Tacker Abrahams has to come up then because there's at least three players in that wider channel. Tom Farrell and Nankivell got quite bunched, and Jalibert identifies that kick through for Penaud, and you think it's just a soft try. It's brilliantly executed by them. So there was certainly a couple of tries there that I thought Munster were quite bunched. But yeah, they can do that. Bordeaux, when they're on the front foot, they've shown it in the pool stages. They were the top seeds and in the French top 14 as well. And they had that wave of momentum. And the last thing you want away in France, I noticed from my own playing days as well, is allow a French team at home build up a score, because it can unravel for you away from home. Things go wrong, and that's exactly what happened. The character Munster showed to respond, the Nankivell try just before half time. But again, a lot of focus, and rightly so, on the lineup. There was certainly two or three in the first half that Munster were very close in the Bordeaux 22. There was, and they misfired at the lineout, and their massive opportunities that are gone. I thought their line speed was very aggressive. They gave away a fair few penalties, Bordeaux, shooting up off the line. couple of refereeing decisions didn't go Munster's way, particularly when they needed them. But the better team won, and you know, that's the reality of this game, and it's a reality of the level you need to be at, the squad depth you need, and the power that you need when you're in the knockout stages of Europe. So, look, there's probably more. If Munster had beaten Cass, they would have been home for round 16 in quarterfinal. If they'd beaten Northampton, there are ifs and buts.
Yeah.
But certainly that Cass game in the pool stages was very, very costly. And but look, as I said, they wouldn't they weren't contenders to win the European Cup, I don't think. It would have been incredible to be in a semi-final, but Bordeaux were by far the best team. You think the reaction the second half, right after half time, Munster have two lineouts down, very close to their line. Penalties, they were kicked down the touchline, and both of them lost. It's criminal, really, and they'll know that themselves. And lots of mix ups. Even when Dermot Byrne went off, the first lineout, Niall Scannell came on, it was an overthrow. And massive miscommunication. And that's all people kept asking me after the match, Saturday night, Sunday, going home in the airport, what happened to the lineout? A mixture of poor calling, poor communication, poor execution, pressure from the opposition, and possibly not being good enough at times, you know, because, you know, people would say, well, what happened? It was good the week before, and it has improved. But to be at the top level with your lineouts, you know, you have to be in the 90% region. And, you know, a lot of them are rushed. And we should talk about that, because since Andy Kiriakou went, and, you know, we're talking a lot about the lineout at the start of the season, Alex Codlin came in for a period of time. Obviously, he's since the January, he's been over and back with and spending time again with the women's team, which is his main job. He was off sick for a couple of weeks as well. Tommy O'Donnell, Sean Cronin have been helping with the lineout, but I think it's a problem. It has been a problem, albeit, you know, there's been some good weeks there and some good performances in the lineout. But at this level, and Bordeaux had Munster worked out there, and they were quite predictable and slow sometimes in their movements. The throws were poor as well. So, it was very, very costly. And you're chasing a game. And I think Bordeaux showed a fair bit of vulnerability, which would indicate to me that they won't win the European Cup. They could, but they don't seem to stay at it for 80 minutes. And
Would you argue, Quinny, that they feel like they don't have to, like, to say, I know they've done the same with Ulster, they have another gear they can go to, but they, like, it's almost French. It's like, okay, job done now, almost.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I think it'd be very frustrating for the Bordeaux coaches and Noel McNamara in particular, that ruthlessness that's required. And we saw it from Leinster on Friday night and the week before. That who knows? Like, on their day, Bordeaux could beat anyone. But I just think that Munster's reaction was outstanding. And, you know, it's 40-29 with 7 minutes to go. And they get a red card. Their second row is sent off for a second yellow, high tackle. I think Munster ran that penalty. I'm not sure it was the right thing to do, but that shows you that the lineout, maybe you're not, you mightn't win it, but you have a big second row just gone off. I thought it was the wrong decision. Tacker Abrams going down the touchline. Luku makes a brilliant tackle. If Munster score there, it's one score. And you think from the kickoff they can go and attack and Bordeaux of 13 players. But, you know, there was a counter ruck in the midfield. I think there was they were in from the side in that.
Yep.
Conor Murray, the lineout was hit. He was hit backwards with on that. And there's an argument about this new law change about protecting the scrum half. You can't play them. He was hit in the lineout just previously as he was passed as well late. That wasn't given. They go and score. BLB rescores. And again, it's just that change of gear that they're capable of and scoring. So, you know, if Tacker Abraham scores and it's one score in the end, I think Munster actually could win the game because with Bordeaux of 13 players and as you know, it's back to one score. So that was a really, really crucial tackle and a brilliant tackle from Luku, and he was outstanding for them. Brilliant leader, great kicking game as well, great man to control the ball. If it happened that Munster got that try, and they obviously didn't, but if they had ended up winning that game, it would have been, you know, one of the greatest comebacks in the history of rugby union, probably. But look, too many. You couldn't end up winning a game like that with all the mistakes you made. The missed tackles, they're varying. Some stats say 27, 28. Some are in the 30s. But there is a lot of missed tackles there. And, you know, if you look at the stats of the game, Munster only kicked the ball 13 times, which is an incredibly low number. Bordeaux kicked it 32 times. But it's about that control and where they were kicking and when they were kicking. And they had this surge, try, receive the ball, play out for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, out of get Munster away, kick well, and then strike again, you know. And they scored six tries, I think four in the first half, two in the second half. You could argue and dispute the one that was held up in the second half. Was it held up? Was it a try? It was given as a try. But you know, Munster were too loose there, and they were the turnovers as well. You know, I think some of the mistakes and but if you look at the at times the space they were able to create with the wraparound passes and some of the execution was brilliant, and they were a whisker away from actually making sizable line breaks, really hurting Bordeaux. But yeah, the second half was just too many kind of deflating moments when you get into a good position. And I know that as a player, like it's a great lift to the opposition when you go down and you're very close to their line and you have a line out and then you mess it up. And we as the defenders don't get stressed at all. And then you move down the field, and Munster continuously did that. But in saying all the mistakes and the performance and maybe the inadequacies that are still there at that level, at top level, their character was outstanding. Does it count for much? Because one of the messages comes in there, it's kind of like a moral victory, and that we're papering over the cracks here that Munster are not good enough. But this 23 is not good enough to win a European Cup. We've spoken continuously about the injuries and the need for improvement, and the squad needs to get stronger. And both Connacht and Ulster are the same. When you look at the team then and the potential of, look, this could happen to anyone. You know, they tore Ulster to shreds the week before, and Ulster responded in fairness as well. And that is the level that these, you know, when you get to the latter parts of the competition, that these teams are at, and unfortunately Munster are not there yet. If they can keep, I know we'll get into the Bulls match towards the end of the podcast, but if they can keep this core group reasonably together in the next few weeks, they could have a crack at the URC and you know, finish the season strongly, really, because I think this team, you know, if they respond and they get a result this week, they're away to Cardiff then, and then they've got Ulster and Benetton at home. Potentially, to be very careful, you know, if they were to win the four games, they could potentially get to, you know, be in that fourth position or possibly third, and they could start thinking about, you know, home quarterfinal. They won't. I don't think they'll. To be very careful, they're not going to, you know, get in the top two. Glasgow are too far ahead, I think, and they've got the Bulls at home next week. But yeah, they could finish the season strong. So look, you've got to take some positives for it. They've had a tough 3 weeks, Connacht away, La Rochelle away, and Bordeaux away, and that's difficult. And they look fatigued, a little bit, and tired and shocked. And that's the harsh reality of it. But I don't care who you're playing. That's not good enough, the return and the line-out. It's just not good enough. And they need to have an honest appraisal of that. And going back to the Alex Codling situation, somebody should have been appointed really that's going to be there for the whole season with them and continuously working with them week after week after week. And that's no disrespect. Alex Codling, from what I can gather, has been really, really effective and really good for them. But he's preparing for the women's international against England this week. I think he was with Munster at some point, maybe on the Thursday or something. He definitely was in with them at some stage, but yeah, it was an incredibly poor return in the line-out.
Well, that is it for part one of the Red 78. If you want to listen to our full episode where we continue our analysis of the defeat to Bordeaux and look ahead to a big clash of the Bulls, you can become an Off The Ball member. Check out offtheball.com/join for all the details. You can become a member on the Off The Ball app, Apple, Spotify or YouTube for $9.99 a month.
The Red 78. Nobody knows Munster rugby better.
I'd like to think I know a lot,